Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today, Laura, is going to, of course, share her success story. We're going to take a deep dive into so many different aspects of going through our healing journey when we're dealing with Lyme disease. And we're also going to touch a little bit on her daughter's treatment as well. I know it's hard enough for us alone to go through the journey, but then when we're supporting our family to go through the journey as well, it's just kind of a double whammy to us. So I think that she gets a lot of kudos for being her daughter's biggest cheerleader, as well as having to go through this battle herself as well. So, and I'm also so excited she took a little bit of time out of her hectic life right now. Once she conquered Lyme disease, she decided that her and her husband are going to retire and move to Spain. So I just think that's fabulous. We had a moment to chat before the show, and I just was asking her thoughts on, like, why Spain? Why are you leaving? Anyways, I love how these journeys that we go through truly transform and just really kind of give us a whole new outlook on life. And that's kind of what happened with Laura. So I'm beyond thrilled for them to just patiently be waiting for their visas so they can head off to Spain. I'm sure it's going to be a fabulous retirement for you. So Laura, again, I appreciate you joining me and taking time out of your chaotic life right now while you're kind of in housing transition, waiting to do the big move to Spain. So thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for the nice introduction.
So
to be here.
That's awesome. I truly wouldn't have a show without guests like you who are going to, you know, be vulnerable with me and be willing to share their journey, because it's a tough journey, but we're tougher, right? And so my guests are able to express that to the listeners that are out there that may be having an extra hard day, but no matter where you are in your journey, we absolutely can heal. So you've got to know that. And we're going to talk about that a lot too, because I know gratitude was a big part of your journey. So I'm just going to let you take off with it. So I don't know where we need to start with your journey. Where does it start?
It started in the summer of 2016 in Maine. My father retired to Maine, and we would come up every summer. We were here in July of 2016. And after being here, I got sick about a week later, started feeling sick. I went back home to, which was Georgia at the time, just outside the Atlanta area, and, you know, didn't know why I was not feeling well. And I'm a big golfer. I couldn't play golf. I didn't feel well enough to go to work. Didn't understand it. And I actually had a practitioner, an MD, but she was into natural healing and not just strictly Western medicine. And she was the one that figured out that I had Lyme.
Okay. So you go to Maine. Do you recall getting bitten, or did you just all of a sudden get sick one day, or did you see a rash, or?
No, I didn't recall getting bitten. I had no rash. Maine is, I think, the top state for Lyme disease in the United States. But we did a lot of hiking, and we were at a state park. We saw deer in the park. We were going through high grass. We didn't have any repellent on, which was really stupid.
We live and learn, right?
yes. And I'm in Maine right now. That's from, you know, that's where we're waylaying before we go to Spain. But anyway, so when we got back home, I think it took about 30 days to figure out that I had Lyme.
That was it?
Yes, that was it.
Wow. you might earn the record reward for that. That's amazing. So many of us go years, decades without getting a diagnosis. Okay, so you have just all these random things. You probably think I have the flu or something, but then you get home, you're not getting better. And you mentioned that you have a medical doctor who does, you know, kind of Western medicine, outside of medicine and all of that. And so that's who you went to and did all you have to say is I was in Maine and I feel sick. And she says, oh, Lyme disease. Or how did that go down?
They did a bunch of tests and they really couldn't figure it out. And then she said, let me ask you, she had a questionnaire and she asked me all these questions on this questionnaire. And it was actually a Lyme questionnaire. I didn't know at the time. And so she did it. She diagnosed it not through testing.
Clinically.
Thank you. That was the word I was looking for.
Which is wonderful, by the way. And I know a lot more practitioners are kind of leaning that way. Our testing is so inaccurate unless you go to a specialty lab, which is very, very expensive. And so in my eyes, I'm thinking we should be okay with the clinical diagnosis. One, we're going to save money, right? We can utilize those funds towards our treatment. But on the flip side of it, I also get that if we've been sick for a long time, we need a diagnosis. We need somebody to say, okay, yes, I believe you have A, B, and C, right? So it's kind of a catch 22. I get both sides, but that's amazing. So you go, she gives you this questionnaire and you're probably like, well, these are really weird questions, but okay. Yes. And then now you know it was a kind of a Lyme questionnaire.
And she did run one test. What's the test? I can't think of the name of it. It measures your immune system. And it can be an indicator of Lyme. I can't remember the name of it.
Well, usually the test that just normal MDs will do is either the ELISA test or the Western blot.
Yeah. No, this was something else. And it was like really, the score was extremely low. And she said, you have Lyme. Because I don't think initially I didn't test positive on the Western blot.
Okay. Which is very common, right?
Yes.
Okay. So she clinically diagnosed you. And I'm assuming, do you know anything about Lyme at all or...
No, and at the time I didn't. I was just really happy to have a diagnosis. Little did I know that that was the start of, you know, a very tough, frustrating journey.
Right. I remember that when it took me 7 years to get my diagnosis, I was like, oh my gosh, yay, I have Lyme. I was so excited. And then I got to thinking, I thought, wait a minute, isn't that just what dogs get? Like, why I have a dog disease? Like, I was so uneducated on anything.
I can name it so we can treat it.
Yeah. And then I thought, okay, I have Lyme. And then I started looking into it. I'm like, oh, this is like the last thing in the world I wanted to have. But yeah, we do get excited to finally get a diagnosis. Little do we know we have to become a therapist, a pharmacist, a doctor, and all of that, right? To be our own advocate to actually get well. But that's one of the blessings of it.
Yes. So then we started treating with antibiotics.
Okay.
Oral antibiotics. And I started getting better. And but then I hit a point where I started having like really bad chest pains and having, you know, issues, and that freaked everybody out. And they stopped and they sent me to a cardiologist, and I ended up having a pericardial effusion. And so we stopped with the antibiotics and they started treating that. And then everything just got worse from there.
And I'm assuming your heart issues probably was Lyme related, maybe?
Yes, it was.
Most of them are, right?
I guess I always had like a small pericardial effusion, very small, I guess, because they found that I had it on some scan or something I did at some point.
And then by having, you know, your immune system run down, the Lyme pathogens take over, it just kind of exasperates anything and everything that was already going on in the body.
That's exactly right. Anything that I had issues with, just that the Lyme, you know, focused in on that and attacked it. So it got to the point where, you know, it was filled with more fluid and it was much larger and needed to be treated. I guess that was probably six, 7 months later.
Okay. So no more antibiotics. And so then what did you do?
So they treated that. And I think I went back on antibiotics, and vitamin infusions, glutathione infusions, herbs, just all kinds of different things, supplements, and not, you know, nothing. I just got worse and worse. And then we found out we had a shower leak in our master bedroom, and we had mold, and that opened up a whole nother can of worms. And I started, we had that kind of taken care of, but then I started reacting to things, and it just, I don't know. And that, we moved out of that.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So that is oftentimes one of the big missing pieces. It can be parasites a lot too, but mold, right? Like I think there's a stigma around Lyme. I think there's a stigma around mold. I think there's a stigma around mental health, right? Like there's so many stigmas around different things. And I don't know if I had to think back on what maybe I thought about mold was, I don't know. Well, are you a dirty person? Do you live in a dirty house? Like, I don't know, right? We don't know what we don't know. And so I know that a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I could never be living in mold. And I'm telling you, if you're treating for a while, you can't get well, you might be getting worse, you can't stay well, it might be mold, either in your house or just you were exposed somewhere and your body took it over, right? And it's just a piece that people really need to focus in on and make sure that they are addressing it to see if it's an issue for you. So yours just went all downhill. I'm so sorry. That is crazy. So you're starting antibiotics, you're starting to feel, you know, a little bit better, and then you have your heart issues, you stop, then you go on herbs, you're not feeling better at all. In fact, you're feeling worse. And then that's kind of when you discovered the mold in your house. And I'm sorry, you were going to go on to say that you moved out.
We moved out when we rented a townhouse, and it became an issue, especially with the mold. The mold freaked me out, and this other doc, my other doctor retired, and then she had a naturopath that sort of took over, and he was all into the mold, and it just, I had to read this horrible book, and it made it seem like I'd always be,
be sick or reactive sick to
it. Reactive to mold, which is not the case. And I just felt like, you know, I'm never going to be able to live in the world. And I was really sick at this point. I had lost all this weight. I was just, nothing was, you know, I was suffering. I had a lot of neurological issues and burning and, really reacting strongly to things.
When you say burning, do you mean like burning pain in your body?
Yeah. Like upper body, my arms, everything burned. And
did they ever narrow that down to, was it Lyme or was it mold? Or because I hear that from a lot of people, like burning and tingling and, you know, their different limbs and stuff. And we never know what causes what, right?
No, there's so many things. They never really, you know, did. I think it could be a combination of things. But with the Lyme, it brings your immune system down, as you know. And then, you know, you react to everything. Start having reactions, and
you get a little tiny cold, right? And it's like you're dying. Everything is so exasperated.
It really is. And I guess at this point, I don't know, this is probably 3 years into my journey, and I'm not really good with the timelines on anything, and everything just kind of melds together, and all the like really specific symptoms, and I don't know, I think like when you have a baby, you forget going through childbirth and all of that.
You forgot how horrible it was, right?
Yeah. You're in it. It's, I don't know. So I was just mentally, physically, emotionally, I was just at, you know, the bottom, just at the bottom.
And especially if, you know, you have this doctor making you read a book on mold, which, by the way, I'm curious if you remember what it was. But, you know, to read this book on mold and make you believe that you're always going to be reactive to this, right? It really makes us feel like, then why fight? Why fight to get well if I can't be all the way well, you know? And I think that everybody, you know, everybody knows I'm not a doctor. I'm not a naturopath. I'm not anything. I'm just a Lyme patient that has a big voice, right? But I think that there are so many things. Can you really cure Lyme disease? Can you go in remission from it? I don't know, and I really don't care, but I 1,000,000% believe you can be 100% symptom-free from everything and go back to eating gluten and eating the things that you used to react to and truly just not live in a bubble.
Yes.
And can get your life back that way, because I have, and I know thousands of other people, probably millions of other people, right, can get well, and you do, but it's not very encouraging.
I'm proof of that.
Yes, exactly. After the doctor told you that you're going to react to mold all the time. And I know that I luckily, thank goodness, I never dealt with mold. And so I don't know a lot about it. But I've even heard stories about if you're sensitive to mold, and I'm not even talking about in the Lyme world, just in general, if you're sensitive to mold, if you walk into somebody's house and they have a moldy something in their refrigerator, they'll actually react at the front door. Like, that is just mind blowing to me how sensitive some people can be to mold, right? And then to have your doctor say, you know, you're always going to be sensitive. Why do you want to fight? So a lot of times I tell people, if you're in the deepest, darkest time of your journey, you need to find a why. First of all, you need to find a why. Why do I want to fight? Why do I want to get well? Is it for yourself so you can empower, right? Is it because you have children? Is it for your spouse? Like, everybody can have their own. Maybe you just have a pet, right, that can't live without you. Whatever it is, you truly need to find a why, because you need to have a reason to get well. And so much of this is kind of mindset and gratitude. And I know we're going to talk about that too, because you were kind of down and out. And why do all this work and spend all this money to get partly well? That's what he's telling me I can do. And so what helped get you through that? Did you have daily rituals you did? Did you just sit down and give yourself a lecture, or what did that look like for you?
I think a lot of what that looked like for me when you said finding the why, that just, alarm bells went off in my head. I think that when things happen in our lives, you know, people, things happen for a reason. I don't believe that. Things happen and we need to give them meaning, because they don't really necessarily happen for a reason, but they happen. We can't control things a lot of times, but when something happens, we need to give it a meaning and turn it into a blessing or a lesson or something. So even when I was at my very worst, I always did a gratitude practice where I, you know, have three things before I go to sleep. There's three things I think about during the day that I'm grateful for. And, what else did I do?
And that could sometimes be hard, right? Especially if we're maybe bedridden or, you know, are living alone. We're alone in our journey, which, by the way, you never are. We have an amazing, huge Lyme community. But if you're just alone as far as your family and your friends, it could be hard to find things to be grateful for.
Yes. But
trust us, right, Laura? Trust us. There's always something to be grateful for. You have to just think about it.
And that just sets your mindset, you know, toward more abundance rather than all of the, you know, all of the symptoms and things you're going through. I also had one of the harder things about Lyme is it changes your whole social aspect of your life. Because, you know, friends, you know, we talk about the things that are going on in our lives. So when, you know, a friend calls up or wants to do something, oh, what have you been up to? Oh, I've had, chest pains and burning. And it's just, you know, and that's a lot of what we have to talk about. So
you're always that Debbie Downer, right?
Yes.
And you're probably that one that nobody can depend on, whether you're just going to meet tomorrow night for a movie, you could call 5 minutes before and say, I can't go, right? You become unreliable. And so many of us lose friendships, right?
Yes.
And I believe that, I truly believe they just weren't true friends in the first place. If you lose them over something like this, it's supposed to gather them to you, yep, right? And they're supposed to be your cheerleaders.
Acquaintances, yes.
But how did you work through that? How did you work through being the odd one out, right? Like here you are miserable. And I know sometimes when people ask, how are you doing? We battle. Do I just want to say, oh, I'm okay? Or do I want to really, well, let me tell you, right? You know, they get tired. It's like, do you want to lie and say you're okay? Do you want to be that Debbie Downer all the time? And, you know, it has to be hard. It's hard.
Yeah. I think initially it was very, because I had, you know, a really large group of friends, and I didn't hear from them very, very often. People that I thought I was, you know, were really good friends. No, they, like you said, they weren't really good friends, which is fine. It's understandable. It's difficult to, you know, go through this type of a journey with somebody. It's difficult. And it's difficult to understand. So that it was really hurtful. But I also, and then I had a group of friends that, you know, might not, you know, spend hours on the phone with me, or they would just text and say, hey, how's it going? I'm just checking in with you. And I knew that they were there in the background.
Yes.
And that's a handful of people that, you know, that Maya Angelou saying, it's not how, what you don't remember what somebody said or what they did necessarily, but you remember how they made you feel.
Yes. Yes. And just knowing, right? And, you know, in the defense of our friends and our loved ones that are watching us go through this battle, well, I think there's many stages to Lyme disease. It is like the grieving process. I say that a lot. But they're going through it too, right? And when somebody passes away, you don't really know what to say, right? Like, you know, well, they're better off, or they're, you know, you never know what to say. And I think a lot of times our friends and loved ones, they don't know what to say to us either.
Sure.
You know, I don't think we ever stop to think about that. So maybe they are our friends, but they don't know what to say. But even just a quick text, I'm thinking of you, right? It's how you make people feel that you remember.
So those people, I know they didn't know what to say, or they just checked in just to see, you know, and also to, you know, let me know that they were thinking of me and that I hadn't completely fallen off the face of the earth. And then I had people that, like, you know, I said that, like, a handful of people that just made me feel safe and loved, and that just are precious. And to this day, you know, are probably some of the people I'm closest to.
Yes. They're hard to find. When you find those good ones, hang on to them, right?
100%. Yes. And let them know that they're wonderful, and, you know, and tell them you love them, because you just never know. You just never know, right? When you're not going to be able to tell somebody that.
Yeah. And a few simple words, you know, a few simple kind words to anybody. I don't care if you're sick or not, if you're walking in the grocery store, how's your day, right? Or, wow, that color looks great on you, or whatever it may be, right? Our words are so powerful that you may or may not have just made that person's day, right? We can oftentimes tell when somebody is either not liking their job, their mind is, you know, preoccupied, or they're just in a bad mood. We don't know what they're going through. Just be kind, say a few kind words, and be the reason somebody wants to go on, right? And be the reason somebody wants to smile. So it truly, a few simple words can go so much further than you could ever imagine. It's like that ripple effect, right?
Yes, 100%. I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So I'm glad that you had your circle of friends, your handful of friends, and beings that you're ready to set off to Spain with your husband. I'm assuming that your marriage survived, right? A lot of times they don't. And I'm sure there was struggles with that as well.
Yes, it was, you know, it's hard. This was like right before I did the SOT, but you know, you get to a point where you just feel kind of like a big boat anchor, you know, on him and my, our daughter. And it just, yeah. And we did go through during this, I was staying when they were remediating our house. I was staying with a friend, who had a newer house, a really nice house on with a horse farm and all this stuff. But anyway, and we had a kind of a rough time while I was staying with her and we had a really rough time then, but we made it through. Yes.
Good for you guys. Love conquers all, right?
Yes. And he, one of the things that was really helpful, he always told me, I know you're going to get through this. And I could tell he really believed it. He really, you know, he wasn't just placating me. He really believed it. And that was important.
That's powerful. Yes. Because we don't always believe we're going to get through it. Right. And even in your case, well, if I get through this Lyme, I'm still going to have these mold issues and, you know, stuff like that. So it really is, it is hard to get there sometimes. Some people it's easier for, right? We're all different, but it can be a challenge to get to where you truly believe you're going to get well. But I will say this, I've said it a million times, and I say it with all my heart, is that if you truly don't believe you're going to get well, you probably either are not going to get well, or you're going to get well and not stay well.
Yeah.
Like, our mind is that powerful. We have to, I don't care, lie to yourself every morning, right? You wake up in the morning, you say your affirmations, and today's going to be a good day and my body's going to heal. If you don't believe it, it's okay. Keep saying it. Eventually you're going to believe it, right?
And one of the things that I also try to focus on along with the gratitude was always, I love to walk. I like to be out in nature, which, oh, maybe where this started, but anyway.
Got you in trouble in the first place, yeah. Right?
Yeah. But if I, you know, there were a lot of days I couldn't walk. So, okay, I can't walk. Well, I'm going to go sit outside and, you know, and enjoy nature. We had a really nice deck and some trees behind us. And so I would do that. I couldn't work. I couldn't, you know, use my brain to be productive. So, well, I can read, you know, and so I can, you know, I read some stuff I did research, or sometimes I would just read for pleasure, or so I always try to find, you know, what it was that I was capable of doing and, you know, be grateful for that. And, you know, feel like, you know, that was an accomplishment and, you know, step forward in that I was being somewhat of a productive human being, or, you know, having some productive energy.
Right. And I think that's important, because we do, like you mentioned earlier, just feel like this weighted anchor, right? And again, it doesn't matter where you are, if you're bed bound, like you, I couldn't walk a lot of the times, but I could sit outside. I could listen to the birds chirp.
Yeah.
Like, how many times I don't know, maybe I'm the weirdo, but long before I got sick, I would sometimes, you know, I'd have the window open. I'd be trying to watch TV or something. And the birds would be chirping. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're so loud. Would they just shut up? Or I'd have to go shut the door. Right. And you don't think about it, right? Like, you take that beauty for granted. We all take things for granted, whether we think we do or not, because something as simple as that. And then I remember when I was sick and I was able to walk outside and just sit at the table and listen to the birds. It was beautiful, right? I couldn't do much.
Things we take for granted, right?
Yes. And I'm like, I'm not an ungrateful person, but we all just naturally take things for granted. I think it's part of our nature, part of this world. And it's little things that doesn't affect people, right? Like, the bird chirpings were annoying me. I couldn't hear my TV show or whatever it was. But yes, or sit out at night and listen, look at the stars, or find something you can do. I remember for a few years, my most favorite day of the week was when my girlfriend, I don't know who listens to my show, so I'm not going to name any names, but I had one of them that was my favorite, the way she made my bed. So every week she would come over and give me clean sheets on my bed. And she kind of, it reminded me because my grandma taught my mom how to make a bed. My mom taught me. And so my mom makes the best bed in the world, right? And she taught me. And I'm like, well, my mom does not even live in the same state with me. But man, this girlfriend, she's a second close to my mom. And so that was my favorite day of the week. I'm going to get clean sheets. There's no better feeling than crawling into clean sheets in your bed. And so that was something I was grateful for, right? And I appreciated her coming over and doing that for me because I wasn't able to do it. So like you said, Laura, there's so many simple things to be grateful for, and there is something you can find.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's nice. That's something that you don't even think about, but boy, that's what a luxury that can be.
Yes. Yeah. Who would have thought, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you and your husband made it through, you know, that rough patch, and it's rough anyways. And then when you have to move out of your home and stay with somebody else, and now you're kind of living in the same situation, right? While you're waiting to head off to Spain, you're staying, is it your father you're staying with?
Yeah, we're staying at my dad's. It's beautiful here, and it's fall, and the leaves are changing, and
yeah.
We're so excited that we get to be here, you know, during this time of year, because it's just what a gorgeous place it is. Unfortunately, right. A lot of Lyme, but yes.
Right, right. But now you're there for good reasons. You're not there because somebody's remediating your home, right? You're there because you're getting ready to go retire. So Anyways, all right. So let's kind of move on to what was your ticket? What was your ticket to finally feeling better or getting better?
So this was in July of 2019. And then after this, the timing and the dates and whatever is a little foggy. No, but
and it does not matter. Don't worry about that at all.
So I had heard about SOT. I tried, you know, everything, and I don't give up. I'm very persistent and tenacious. When something is important and like getting your life back. And one of the most, fortunate, because one of the most experienced clinics is in Cumming, Georgia, which was like 20 minutes from our house, called the Genesis Center, Hank Sloan. And
they specialize in SOT?
They specialize in SOT. And this was the summer of 2019. So this was pretty early days in SOT for Lyme.
Yeah. Okay.
So I went, and then they did... some other testing on me, and it was a Western blot. I can't remember the name of it. And this was before Vibrant came out even. And I lit it up with the Lyme. And so they took my sample, and they sent the sample off to Greece to create the SOTs for the Lyme burgdorferi. After doing that, I did that sometime in August. And then within a few weeks, I started feeling a lot better. I still wasn't over, you know, the hump, but I was a lot better. I wasn't, you know, I could do some stuff every once in a while. I wasn't just, you know, feeling like I was gonna, you know, I didn't wake up every morning and go, oh my God, you know, I'm really sick and this is a nightmare and it's not a dream. I didn't just dream that, but.
So at the SOT clinic, I know you had done some stuff prior to, because, you know, I know in the past I had Tim Montag on, a practitioner that specializes in SOT therapy, kind of giving me an education on exactly what it is and how it works. Cause it's been around for years, right? But not for Lyme disease so much. So I got educated on that. And then I've, you know, talked to some different practitioners since about how some of them, you know, will kind of build up your immune system, right? Like let's do a lot of supportive therapies before we do the SOT. So had you already done that with a prior doctor? And so then when you went into this practitioner, they just kind of did the SOT right away, or?
This doctor always works on candida. So he gave, I don't even remember what it was. It's the most common thing that they give. So he worked on the gut. So he always does that. And then also he's not real thrilled about people that come in there that are, you know, that have done like years and years and years of intravenous antibiotics. And because a lot of times the Lyme can, you know, change form, and it's you know, harder to treat with SOT because it can't penetrate some of the different forms. And
so interesting.
Yes, okay. Sometimes people do several SOTs, like two or three for Lyme, if they need to. You know,
and that may be one of the reasons why, is if somebody did years of antibiotics, it could be harder to break through all the things that the antibiotics did. And that makes sense.
The SOT goes everywhere that your blood goes. But I guess if it's in, well, I can't remember the name of the form. If it's in this one form, I'm not sure if the SOT can penetrate it. But at this point, I had been probably 2.5 years since I had done antibiotics. And I had just done oral antibiotics. So I was, I had a very classic, he does follow-up testing. And and the bands, you know, they move. He has a chart, and he shows how the bands move once you get the SOT treatment for the BB from, I think it's IgM to IgG, and then they start dropping off the IgG.
Okay. Okay. So kind of like a little progress report, kind of seeing, tracking it to see what it's doing in your body. Okay.
Yeah. And mine did, you know, follow that graph exactly. And what he does is he's really good. He believes that, like, I tested positive initially just for the BB, and we didn't have Vibrin at that point. And I think he might've done some Igenix, and I was like, I don't know, indeterminate for Bartonella, and I don't know, just kind of iffy on some stuff. So I felt a lot better, but I still had some issues, and a lot of the burning still, and sleep issues, and just, you know, not being, you know, vibrant health wise, and being, you know, I didn't have any stamina. And so what he does is he has certain target dates that he does follow-up testing on. And he started getting into the Vibrant testing. And the Vibrant showed that I had 3 strains of Bartonella. I had Babesia Ducani, and I had Lyme Moyamotoi. I also had some other things, but those were like the big ones. Like Bartonella Hensley was a big one. So he did some antibiotics at this point, because the things that I had didn't, you know, the antibiotics weren't going to affect him. They didn't change forms like the Lyme does. We did antibiotics and herbs and supplements and different things. And I got rid of some things, but what I was left with, were the 2 Bartonellas, because only the 2 Bartonellas, Babesia Ducani, and then the Moyamotoi. And so he said, let's, you know, SOT the Hensley, because that's like the next biggest thing. And we did the SOT on that, and I started feeling better, and the Hensley went away, but I still was having issues. And it ended up, I ended up regretting that after initially, like maybe after 6 months or so, that I didn't just SOT all of those big ones that were left. Because then we would try antibiotics, we would try herbs, we would try, you know. And this started when I was 53 in 2016. At this point, I was between 56 and 59. And I guess I'm older. And my body, you know, because I agree that your immune system, it's like a muscle. And you get rid of the SOT, or you get rid of the Lyme, and it comes back online and it starts fighting some of the other pathogens. So he does a lot of treating and then testing. So we ended up SOTing next the Bartonella Elizabethae and then the Babesia Ducani. Got rid of those. And then I still, at the very, very end, had a few things. And then we finally SOTed the Lyme Moyamotoi. So I had 5 SOTs, which I think is, I know in his clinic, I think that's unusual. He doesn't end up usually having to do that many.
Okay. And so maybe that's, you know, his approach is to kind of, let's do an SOT and then kind of support your body and see what it's going to do. One, because maybe he doesn't want to do that many, but I'm sure it's not well, I know it's not cheap, right? Like each SOT, you know, costs a certain amount of money. So you ended up doing five, but that was your ticket. Like that is what worked for you.
Yes. And
so did he actually do an SOT? I don't even know if this is a thing for your mold.
No, we moved out of the house and I think I treated, you know, the mold thing, and I might be completely off base and I know everybody's different, but for me, the mold thing was a big rabbit hole. And once I was able to really clear the Lyme, I can go anywhere. I don't know if I want to live in mold or what would happen if I lived in mold.
Right, right. But you're a normal person, right?
I'm normal.
You don't react that way. Yeah, yeah. And I think that just like avoiding, you know, environmental toxins, like our world is just toxic. There's mold everywhere, right? Like you can't evade it. But I think because most of us, right, in this world have a fairly strong foundation, terrain, whatever you want to call it, and our body just naturally fights it off, or, you know, it's kind of like brushing it off your shoulder or something. But then when you get something like Lyme, that is going to wreak havoc on your immune system. Now, all of a sudden, all the stuff that didn't affect you affects you now. And that makes sense. Also makes sense, right? Like if we get rid of the Lyme and build our body back up, we should be able to go back to where we were when we started. And you did.
I'm 97% back to where I started. There's certain foods that I can't eat that I used to be able to eat. And I do like react a little bit to like chemicals.
Okay.
So I have a little bit of a histamine thing, but it's not anything that takes me down or I can't.
Or challenging, or it's just something new, right?
I just feel it. And, you know, I never had histamine. So I think because my body was in reaction mode for so many years that I still have a little bit of that left, but it's not, I don't know. It doesn't stop me from doing anything. And it
doesn't faze you. Yeah.
It doesn't faze me.
I think if that's all you have left over from your journey, definitely a huge win, right? Especially now that you don't react to mold, even though the doctor is trying to convince you that you were. Doctors are not always right, people. They are not God. They're not the gospel.
I think that sometimes people start going down that mold rabbit hole. And if they, and I know everybody's different, but if they treated the Lyme and got rid of the Lyme and the major pathogens, I don't think that rabbit hole would be such a deep rabbit hole. And
I think that my thoughts are exactly with you, Laura. Again, a few things. One, I didn't have mold, right? So I really have no experience with it. Two, we are all so different.
Yes.
Like so, so different. I know a couple of weeks ago I did an episode with a dear friend of mine. I call her the mold queen, not a flashy title, but I call her the mold queen because she went down the rabbit hole, right? She learned things the wrong way, the hard way, but she truly did such a deep dive and she is just one of those sensitive ones, right? So I think that it can be, I think anything can be. Whether, you know, a lot of us go down that rabbit hole with Lyme. We can't find the right treatment approach for, you know, that works for us, or we can't find the right practitioner that will give us a diagnosis. There's a lot of rabbit holes, but mold for sure is one of the big rabbit holes because it can be expensive. You know, some people pick up and move out of their house. Some people spend $100,000 to remediate their home. Some people, and again, we don't live in a pure world, right? And so there's a lot of honest people
like
who want to come in and take all your money to remediate your home, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I can definitely see how that would be a rabbit hole. So, well, that is amazing. I am just thrilled for you. And who knows, you're going to move to beautiful Spain here shortly. Maybe all your residual little reactions to chemicals, which is a good thing, right? We don't want to be around chemicals. but maybe all of that will go away too. Who knows?
I was in Spain. We were in Spain for 2 weeks at the end of last year. I didn't react to anything.
Oh, see, there you go. It's meant to be. That's where you need to live. So. I love that. All right, Loya, let's talk a little bit about your daughter, if we can, because this is just a great way to truly be able to compare. Right. Thank you. Right. It's like that, the roll of the tongue, it just doesn't ever work. I know it. I could spell it, all of that. It just doesn't come out my mouth. We can kind of decipher and compare, right? Like, how, you know, I know that I have, you know, there's probably listeners out there that every time they hear an episode, they're like, oh my gosh, I want to run out and do that treatment, right? It's overwhelming, and we can't do that. I do this podcast first and foremost to give hope and inspiration that no matter where you are in your journey, you can get well. Listen to us. We've all gotten well. And then people can pick up tips and tricks, right? If they're working with a practitioner and they're not getting well, hey, I heard on a podcast, I heard on Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, you know, somebody did this treatment or somebody did that. Are you familiar? Can we try it? Or maybe you are not working with a practitioner and you need tips on things to how to reset your nervous system, ways to be grateful for things, right? How to learn to have gratitude, how to help detox at home, whatever it is, we have tips and tricks that, you know, you can take from these episodes. But it's always a strong reminder that just because one person went in, did one SOT, boom, they're well, that does not mean that's going to happen to you. And I can't, I cannot express that enough, that one person's treatment journey may not be exactly like yours. Granted, when you go into a treatment protocol, you need to be all in your head. This is my ticket. This is going to work, right? You need to believe in it. But don't just put all your eggs in one basket, right? Isn't that like an old phrase or something? So I know that your daughter's journey was different. So if we can talk just a little bit about, what's your daughter's name?
Samantha.
Samantha. Okay. If we can talk a little bit about Samantha, I think you said she started her journey around the age of 14. Is that right?
She was almost, I guess we got infected. My daughter does not go out into nature ever. and she did go where I got the Lyme. She was on the hike with us there. And I know that's where she got it. And she had more, she wasn't as symptomatic as I was.
The one time she goes hiking with her mom and she gets this life-altering disease, I bet she doesn't go anymore. Sorry. No. Okay, go on.
And so she was almost 15 because it was right before her birthday. And it wasn't until she was 19 that she had more symptoms that were anxiety, depression, and that the doctor said that a lot of the they have a doctor over at the Genesis Center that works more with kids and teenagers, and she said that those are more of the symptoms that she sees, like where somebody like me, it was brain fog and I couldn't get, you know, couldn't complete a sentence, but with her and the teenagers and kids, it's more depression and anxiety and things, and that's how it manifested with her. But I started noticing that she had these BART marks all over her back, and they were absolutely 100% BART marks. And because of my journey, so that's one of the things, you know, my journey, I went through this. It gives it meaning because I was able to help my daughter, right?
Yes. And by the way, listeners, if you're curious about what Laura is talking about with BART marks, so Bartonella, a co-infection of Lyme, also called cat scratch fever. They actually have a little rash, but they look more like stretch marks that you get when you're pregnant. So you can actually just Google Bartonella marks or Bartonella rash, and you can kind of see what we're talking about, because it can be definitely a telltale sign with, you know, some smaller kid that may have them on their body that they're not stretch marks, right? So just more knowledge, more power.
So because of my journey, I knew what that was, and we took her in for testing, and she tested positive for Lyme and for Bartonella, Hensley. So she was 19. They did a Lyme SOT over at the Genesis Center. They always start with Lyme because he feels very strongly that once you get rid of the Lyme, that your immune system can come back online and start fighting other pathogens. So that's what they did with her. And then they did, you know, they did, I think, some antibiotics and some herbs and supplements. And within several months, both things were cleared. And her, and to right now, she hasn't, you know, to this day, she doesn't have the marks are gone from her back as well. So she's able
Awesome.
to clear, she didn't have to have multiple SOTs and she's.
And that makes sense, right? So again, this is why we want to resonate with our practitioner and truly trust the process of what they're telling us. Because, you know, you went in and it sounded like your doctor really wanted to save you some SOTs, right? Because he would do some therapy and it didn't work for you. But I love that theory that, because I do, I think, well, it's our bodies have proven it over and over. Look at how many times people are infected with Lyme disease and they are completely symptom-free until you do something to disrupt your body, whether it's COVID or some horrible sickness or physical trauma, emotional trauma, a car wreck, a divorce, a loss of a loved one, whatever it is. Those are the types of traumas that truly destroy your foundation. And that is when Lyme comes out. So you've been infected with Lyme for years, right? Many of us, symptom-free because you're good. And then you have an event, your body shuts down, Lyme takes over. That is how our bodies work. I mean, it just is. We prove it over and over. So it makes sense that, okay, let's build up the immunity, right? Let's work on our foundation. Let's do the main SOT, the main Lyme. Allow your body to do its magic, and then it will fight off the other co-infections. I love that theory, and it makes sense, and it worked for her.
It did. It did. And it's worked. He's, you know, it's worked for the majority of his patients, but not everybody.
Again, yeah, we're all different, and I think children, younger people, that they have a more tendency to bounce back quicker, right? And their bodies can recover. The more we age, the harder thing everything is, right?
I guess the one thing that I want to really emphasize that helped me to get through this whole journey and process really is, you know, is the gratitude and, you know, finding things that you can do and just, it just mentally, it's hard when you're in it. It's really hard when you're in it. But just mentally, you know, finding meaning and, just connecting to yourself. I mean, we all come from a source where, you know, whatever people believe, the source is, and that's part of us. And without getting too woo-woo, you know, connecting to that part is really powerful for getting through some of the most difficult things that we face. So
Yeah.
makes
I
any.
was just going to sit here and be silent because I preach this all the time, and I'm sure my listeners get tired of hearing it, right? So I want someone else to preach it. It's because we get it, right, Laura, that it is hard. I'm laying in bed. I'm miserable. I'm broke. Nobody can get me well. What's the point? What could I possibly be grateful for?
Yeah.
There's something, there are reasons that you're here, right? And I have this meme that I share a lot, and it's grow through what you go through.
You have to go through.
Utilize your journey and don't get lessons from it, right? I think when you're being taught a lesson, it's almost like a punishment from it, right? But you're going through this for a reason. And I know you mentioned earlier in the show that you don't believe everything happens for a reason, but there's a reason why things happen, or you need to make a reason, right? I'm the total opposite
Give it
because,
meaning, I guess, to give, I mean,
yes, I'm the total opposite. I a
yeah.
million percent think everything in this world happens for a reason. My friends think I'm nuts, but I do. You don't, that is fine. Different thoughts is what makes the world go round, right? But the
Sure.
bottom thought of both of ours is the same. So like, I believe everything happens for a reason because there's something we need to learn from this situation. And you feel the same, right? Like you have to give meaning to everything that you're going through. Find a reason, find what you can learn, find what you can offer and share to other people, right? Yeah. And I'm getting that right from you, right?
Yes, you cut off for just a second there, you froze. But I guess when people say, when people say everything happens for a reason, sometimes that just hits me the wrong way.
Hits a lot of people the wrong way, trust me.
it's just, and I guess in a sense that it's like,
if you want to dissect it and break it down, right? Like, so you go to the casino down the road, right? You spend all your money. You can't pay your bills this month. Well, I can't pay my bills. You know, that was supposed to happen. No, that was not supposed to happen for a reason, right? Like, I get it. I get it. I guess my big picture, I always just say everything happens for a reason. But bottom line is, it's what you think as well, right? Like whatever you're going through, whatever challenges you are facing, different things and obstacles you have to overcome and learn something from it, right? Like don't let it go in vain. Don't let all those years of suffering just go for no reason, right? Now,
yeah.
Yes. And like you said earlier, is your journey is what helped you really be a good advocate for your daughter. Because
yes.
You probably wouldn't have known anything about Lyme or the BART sign to look at, right? And what child doesn't have emotional issues, anxiety issues, you know, like they go through a lot, you know.
A COVID, you know, like her graduating class was the COVID, you know, 2020.
All the more reason, yes.
Are, you know, more and more parents that I speak to that are her kids that age, they have a different outlook and different challenges. And, it's, you know, that had a major impact on those kids. So
yeah,
a lot of them have anxiety and stuff for sure.
Yeah. And it's hard growing up, like it's hard to adult, right? But it's rough in those teenage years and those high school years and friendships. And it's tough. I remember I'm not that old, right? But you know, that's how subtle some symptoms of Lyme can be.
Yes.
You know, I had a lady on recently, her daughter just had stomach pain and couldn't eat, but that was it. Like no other problems. Like you would just think, okay, she's got the flu or she's got, you know, if your child's a little depressed or having some anxiety or, you know, has a short fuse, they're going through a lot, you know, they're in finals at school. So you can brush it off or gaslight yourself into so many different things. But because of your journey, right, you were able to pick up on something and make her not allow her to suffer longer.
That's, I guess, maybe the last point I'd like to make, just going through this, there've been some silver linings. You know, I've said this many times, I didn't really need to go through it for 6 years to find the silver linings, but I know some people go through it for a lot longer than that. But my journey has been not only my daughter, but I've been able to help a lot of people that have been, I think I've referred like 9 people to the clinic that I went to or an SOT clinic. And I think 7 out of the 9 people, 100% got their lives back.
Wow. It was your voice that impacted their lives. Isn't that an amazing feeling?
Yeah. It really, to make such a difference for somebody is, that's what life's about. I mean, you can't do anything, you know, more than that. And then I guess 1-2 other things, just going through, there's worse things that you can go through than a chronic illness, but this has got to be one of the probably top 3. So going through something like this, you lose a lot of fear around things that we really shouldn't have fears about. And because after like one of the worst things that has happened, then you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to have all these anxieties and fears about, you know, getting flying on an airplane or even dying, or I don't know, just at least for me, I lost some fears. And then one of the reasons we're going to Spain and retiring is I'm 62 now. My husband's 63, and I just want to really, we don't know what's going to happen and what our lifespan is going to be, but what our health, more importantly, what our health span is going to be, where we're able to, you know, be fully active and do all the things we want to, and physically and mentally be able to do them. So, you know, there's no time like the present to do that. So.
I love that. And at first I was going to ask you to explain or elaborate a little bit more so I could understand when you said you lost a lot of fear. And the more you shared, the more I understood what you were saying, I think, because...
Have you found that as well with yourself?
Yes. So I've, like most people in this world, right? Like I've had a lot of trauma. I've gone through a lot of things in my life. And I always revert back to, that's nothing. I had Lyme, right? So yeah. Like in the middle of my Lyme journey, the town I lived in burned to the ground, right? And so I had to flee from my life and I called my family and said my goodbyes. I was not making it out alive. Of course, 3 years into my treatment, that re-triggered my Lyme. I did 3 more years of treatment and then I move and I get rid of Lyme and I get breast cancer. And like, it was just, you know, this, all these things. And I'm like, nah, that fire ain't got nothing on me. Breast cancer, nah, I ain't got nothing on me. Like nothing was a big deal because truly in my eyes, my Lyme journey was the toughest. And if I can get through that, I can get through anything. And so I think that's what you were saying when you're like kind of get rid of all your fears and stuff, because it's tough. There's no part of it that's easy, but just find the silver lining, like you said, and take away the good things from it.
So this has been really, thank you so much for letting me share my journey and any, I don't know, lessons that might help others. So,
well, I just appreciate you taking the time because without guests like you, I wouldn't have a show. And we need to have a show. We need to share our voices, right? To those that are not well enough to share them. We want to help. We want to spread hope, give them some inspiration that they can get well. And congratulations to you and your husband. I am hoping all your dreams are going to come true when you land over in Spain and retirement, and living in Spain is all you ever dreamed it to be. That just sounds amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for all that you do. And this is like so helpful for so many people.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Laura.
All right. Nice meeting you, Tanya.
You as well. I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.